What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let us take this morning's look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. Patsy Lee, elected representative of the Popular Party, joined the voices demanding that the Tribunal Electoral give urgent attention to the challenges presented against proclaimed deputies who were chosen by voters in the 5th of May elections. Furthermore, she suggested that to strengthen the commitment to transparency, a monitoring system should be implemented that allows the public to closely follow the handling of the challenges. Lee, from Circuit 13-4 of La Chorrera and one of the contested deputies, assures that it is important to determine that these demands do not violate the popular will or interfere with the installation of the new assembly. The National Assembly will be installed on the 1st of July. According to Judge Eduardo Valdez-Escoffery, there are 22 contested deputies, so it would be installed with 47 deputies. Anyone who feels violated has the right to challenge. This helps ensure transparency and justice in democratic processes. It is a fairly normal process which candidates can access. However, it is also important that these impeachment procedures do not violate the popular will or interfere with the installation of the new assembly. These actions should not compromise the decision of the electorate or the institutional stability of the country, said Lee. Lee is one of the deputies affected by the challenge in Circuit 13-4, an electoral area where Eliezer Montenegro, former candidate for deputy for the Democratic Revolutionary Party, challenged the entire circuit election. In addition to Lee, this lawsuit also affects Yutzelda Marin and Lilia Batista from Rialando Metas, the RM party. In this regard, Lee recalled that the PRD had enough observers and activists in each voting centre, even more than necessary. Since they were not favoured with the result of the elections, they are calling into question the work of the Tribunal Electoral, she added. The number of contested elected deputies increases as the various proclamations of winners in the elections of May the 5th are published in the electoral bulletins. This Wednesday, the judge of the Tribunal Electoral, Eduardo Valdez-Escoffery, revealed the 22 deputies have been challenged to date. He also added that in this electoral process, a total of 35 challenges have been presented, 22 deputies, 12 township representatives and one mayor. This is the first time that there is such a high number of deputies because attacking the multi-member circuits freezes everyone who is involved in that election. On the other hand, when single-member groups are attacked, then only one is affected, said Valdez-Escoffery. This is on the radio program Altavoz on Omega Stereo. A space hosted by the journalist and former First Lady of the Republic, Lorena Castillo. In the 2019 elections, a magistrate explained that the challenges affected 18 deputies, while after the 2014 elections, 20 were challenged. And there, 20 did succeed, because in 2014 there was a great example of use of state resources in a scandalous way. There were not two instances like there are now. We had to annul a lot of elections because of the use of circuit games to benefit by generating inequity against the opponent was scandalous, he recalled. On the issue of lawsuits in multi-member circuits, he explained that it depends on what the person who has decided to attack the election is challenging. If you attack the election, you're attacking all those who were proclaimed, he maintained. The president-elect, José Raúl Moreno, announced through his official X account the appointment of Virna Luque as vice minister of the presidency. Luque will work alongside the designated minister, Juan Carlos Oriac. She has a degree in law and political science from the Santa Maria La Antigua University. She has a master's degree in maritime law from the same university and another in law from the University of San Diego in the United States. In the public sphere, she has held several positions, including Secretary General of the Ministry of Public Security and the Ministry of Government and Justice. She was General Director of Customs in the government of former President Ricardo Martinelli. General Director of Foreign Policy in the of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Substitute Judge in the Electoral Court in the years from 2022 to 2007. National Director of Legal Advice, Legal Advisor of the Social Security Fund for 1 year in 1966. Additionally, she has practiced as a lawyer at firms such as Owens & Owens, Luque and Lewis, D'Amato, Brisbois, and Brisgard LLP, among others. President Laurentino Cortizo revealed on Wednesday that he asked his ministers not to hide or modify information from the incoming government regarding all the processes that they carry out in their respective portfolios. "As I told you in the Cabinet Council, I don't want any type of makeup," said the president. According to Cortizo, ministers must provide, once the transition process begins, all information on the projects that are being executed, the location, physical progress, and financial progress. They are also required to report whether said projects face any legal or administrative problems, whether they are in the Comptroller's office or another entity, and whether or not the contractors have requested addendums. But let things be told as they are, that the information be provided to the incoming government, he said. On Monday, the 3rd of June, the transition between the elected government of José Raúl Mulino and the outgoing government of Cortizo must begin formally. On the 1st of July, Mulino must take office. And just when the administration of the Social Security Fund, the CSS, launches a tender for the purchase of oxygen for 10 years, explaining that it has items for the supply of this medicine for the remainder of 2024 and promising that it will schedule the budget items for the next decade, documents come to light that demonstrate the debts it owes to its current suppliers. The Prensa was able to verify that there are requests from oxygen suppliers who for the last 3 years have been asking for their accounts to be honoured and payments due to be made, including invoices dating back to the COVID-19 pandemic when the country was most in need of oxygen. In the specific case of Asietix Oxygeno, the current debt is $15.4 million, according to a letter sent to the CSS administration on the 20th of May. Considering the oxygen that has been delivered to the Dr. Arnulfo Arias Madrid hospital complex, the debt is $9 million. It's been escalating with the understanding that at the end of 2023, said debt did not exceed $7 million. Meanwhile, polyclinics and primary care centres have been supplied with oxygen for $4.9 million that has not been paid, in addition to another $1.5 million that is derived from the medical oxygen that was delivered after the approval of the so-called joint COVID-19 table. CSS supplier companies have warned that the new purchase orders are not endorsed, nor are accounts receipts reports issued, duly supported by signed invoices. However, they continue to provide the services as part of the existing contractual relationship. In parallel, the director of the CSS, Enrique Lau, has resumed the process to contract a $1 million purchase of oxygen just over a month after the inauguration of President-elect José Raúl Mulino. The official called for bidding for the acquisition of oxygen for $91.6 million. The Public Act, announced on the 24th of May, includes the supply, transportation, delivery and discharge of the oxygen necessary for CSS hospitals and care centres, and proposals will be received on the 3rd of July. The tender for oxygen poses a new competition between companies to secure an important client with the CSS in terms of volumes and billing for a decade. The plenary session of the Supreme Court of Justice declared legal the entry of Carlos Mosquera, alias Calitín, accused of being the alleged leader of a criminal structure of drug trafficking and money laundering, to the penal centre located on the island of Punta Coco. In resolving a habeas corpus appeal filed by Jasser Alexander Sanchez, Mosquera's lawyer, the court endorsed the transfer of the accused to the Punta Coco prison, a maximum security prison to which highly dangerous criminals are transferred. The decision of the full court, which included the unanimous vote of its nine judges, was notified through Edict No. 591, posted on the court's secretariat on the afternoon of Tuesday, the 28th of May. Mosquera was arrested in Operation Alpes, carried out in January the 10th in the provinces of Panama, Los Santos, Herrera, and Panama Oeste. The authorities attribute drug trafficking and money laundering activities to the accused. This is not the first time that Mosquera will visit the Punta Coco prison, since in 2015 he was sent to said penitentiary centre after being arrested in Operation Los Campeones, in which a network dedicated to trafficking was also dismantled, and this was for drugs. On that occasion, the plenary court, with the presentation of Judge Harry Diaz, ordered the transfer of Mosquera to Punta Coco. In Operation Alpes, authorities seized 22 vehicles valued at $1.7 million and $1.9 million in cash from 16 properties. In this investigation, the judicial authorities achieved 23 sentencing agreements and the arrest of 42 people who provided various services to the criminal organization, from being frontmen, operating vehicles with double bottoms, and providing security for the transfer of drugs. According to the investigations of the Drug Prosecutor's Office, Operation Alpes have revealed that the criminal network led by Mosquera used the coasts of Azuero to hide drugs, which were then transported by land in vehicles with double bottoms. This group, by the way, was also dedicated to the sale of illicit substances in the provinces of Herrera and Los Santos through collaborators of Colombian and Panamanian nationality, who were in charge of the logistics for the distribution of the drugs. The National Secretariat of Energy reported the fuel prices that will be in effect from tomorrow, Friday, the 31st of May, up until June the 14th. Now, according to the price table published in the Official Gazette, 95-octane gasoline will decrease by 1 cent per litre and will cost $1.04 a litre. That works out at $3.93 per gallon. 91-octane gasoline will also decrease by 1 cent per litre and will be sold for 95 cents per litre. That works out at $3.61 per gallon. Regarding low-sulphur diesel, it is reported that it will register a slight increase. Its price will be 87 cents per litre, and that is $3.28 per gallon. Well, that's it. There we go. There's a look. There's some of the items in the local news for you, compiled for you for today's programme.